Jonah chapter 2, and we'll begin in verse 1 this morning. Just a few verses for our sermon this morning. We spoke out of chapter 2 and covered much of the chapter last week in our series here on Jonah. I will look again. And our series is entitled, When the Fish Catches You. This is, I believe, our fourth installment into this series. This is important to me because this is kind of the theme of our church for the year, at least what I would like for our theme to be. And Jonah here comes to a decision, and he makes it. And it's a decision that I would like for all of us to make here at this church in the year 2014. Look at verse 1, if you will. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly, and said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice. For thou hadst cast me into the deep, in the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about. All thy billows and thy waves passed over me. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight. Now just think about that phrase. We're going to talk about it here in just a minute. I am cast out of thy sight. Jonah here says, I don't even think that you can see me anymore. Yet, I will look again toward thy holy temple. Yet, I will look again toward thy holy temple. Father, we need you this morning. And Lord, somehow would you allow us to let our hearts and the heart of Jonah here, who literally wrote this book himself, was honest about his failures, was honest about his feelings. Lord, I pray that we would be able to somehow put ourselves in his position. And Lord, I pray that you would help each of us this morning to recommit our lives once again to serving you. Lord, many of us have found ourselves in some difficult positions in these last months. But Lord, in the middle of this, even times where we feel that we, to the best of our ability, couldn't seem to break through, whatever the case might be. Lord, I pray that we would come to the realization, yet, even still, I will look again toward thy holy temple. Lord, help us to look again this morning. In your name we pray. Amen. Just four quick points. We're really only dealing with verse 4 today. And I think today's going to be a little bit different than any of these other installments, I guess, in this series. I think today is the most personal day, the most personal message out of the series. Number one, just four things I want to show you from this verse. Number one, I want you to see that Jonah's disappointment was painful. His disappointment was painful. Now notice this. He says in verse 4, I am cast out of thy sight. If you'll notice in verse 2, he uses the word affliction, and he uses the word belly of hell. You see, for the first time in Jonah's life, he literally felt that he was out of God's watch. He felt that he was literally out of God's sight. Now listen to me. We all oftentimes complain about God's chastening. Preachers will get up, and I have gotten up and will tell you and be honest with you about the fact that you've not gone through anything till God chastens you. And I'm letting you know, dear friend, that you cannot do whatever you want to do and go your own way and live your own life and participate in everything that God says not to do and then get mad at his chastening. Because the Bible says that if he loves you and you're his child, you will be chastened. And if you're not, then you're not his child. And so if you're involved in lifestyles and things that are totally contrary to God's word, and you have all the right in the world to do that, and God's not chastening you, there might be a problem. And we all talk about how hard God's chastening is and how hard it is when God's chastened. You're looking at a preacher that has felt God's chastening. I have dealt with it. I have felt it. I have experienced it. And you know, I came here at the age of, can you believe this? I came here at the age of 20 as your assistant pastor. That's hard to believe, isn't it? Some of you are like, I knew you back then. Yeah, it was horrible. I know. I came in green and you know, I've been in ministry my entire life. I grew up in it. And I think in some ways I was ministry smart, but in other ways I was people dumb. Common sense things and just how you treat people. And thank God above that he brought me to work under Joe Myers. And he's the best people person you'll ever meet. And to this day, I'm scared of the future a little bit because over the years, people have gotten mad at Joe Myers and talked bad about Joe Myers. And I think as nice and patient and kind as he is, people get mad at him. What chance in the world do I have? I mean, if they get mad at him, I'm in trouble. I have felt God's chastening, and I know some of you have. Look at me. But there is something worse than God's chastening. And that's when God leaves you alone. You know, friend, there is a time where you say no to God one too many times. There is a point where you run from him a little too long. And the Bible says the goodness of God leadeth us to repentance, and he tries and he tries and he loves you back and he does everything he can do. Listen to me, dear friend, but there will come a day when that will end. And Jonah literally felt, I have reached that point. I am cast out of your sight. Listen to me. For the first time in his life, I believe, at least his ministry, at least his adult life of serving God. And he had been a man of God, and I believe that God wouldn't have asked him to go preach to these people if he wasn't a capable man and a man that had loved God. But he was just scared of God's will, and he just didn't want to do it. And you can't blame him one bit for it. But listen to me, dear friend, it had gotten to the point that he could not feel the presence of God. It literally took not feeling the presence of God to appreciate the presence of God. It took not seeing God work to appreciate when God did work. How many times the presence of God is gone out of a service and gone out of a church and gone out of an individual's life. And we all of a sudden realize that it's gone and we don't know why. And dear friend, the same reason here is the same reason for us. God never left Jonah. Jonah left God. Amen. Jonah fled from the presence of the Lord. Chapter 1 tells us. Dear friend, I'm here to tell you that oftentimes the presence of God is gone and we don't even realize it's missing. But the day will come that you will need it. And you'll realize it's gone and it's been gone for a while. And I don't know why. You're going to get to the point that you need God now and you need his help and you need miracles and you need his work and you need his ministry and you need his grace and his mercy, and you're going to think, where did I go wrong? Why is he not here like he always was? And dear friend, I'm here to tell you, the presence of God is not something that is owed to you and I. It's something that's a gift. Friday night was a hard night for me. I think I was studying for the message and working on it. And normally, that's when I do my studying, when I finally have time to do my studying. And Brother Ben will tell you oftentimes when I email outlines for PowerPoints and different things, sometimes 12, sometimes 12:30, sometimes 1 o'clock at night. And I began to think about Jonah stuffed into that belly of that fish in a miserable condition. And yet the worst part about it was the fact that he could not feel the presence of God. The worst part about that fish wasn't all the waves that were above him and the weeds that were wrapped around him and I'm sure the discomfort and I'm sure even the pain and I'm sure even the suffering. It seemed what bothered Jonah the most was not even the fact that he was stuck in that fish. What bothered him the most was that he couldn't feel the presence of God. And that ought to be what bothers us the most. I will be honest with you and be personal with you briefly. You all, many of you have lost loved ones. You understand. I'm not here to talk about my suffering and the things I go through. But I can't even probably describe the transition for a year since my mom has died. You all know I was close to my mom. My mom's close to me. We all know that. I'm a mama's boy and I'm proud of it. And you don't like it? Come talk to me afterwards. We'll take care of it. Nothing wrong with being a mama's boy, by the way. Jesus was a mama's boy. He took care of his mother. On the cross, one of the last things he did was make sure that his mother was taken care of. Friday night, I had a hard time. I try not to think about it a lot. I just don't think about it. I just stay busy. I don't have time to think about it. My wife says, I don't really know how you feel about it. You don't really talk. I just don't talk about it. I haven't talked about it since the funeral. I just don't. I have my moments, and I have my times. And Friday night was one of those times. When I got up and left the bedroom, went and found somewhere that I could just be me, and I had my moment. And I know I'm going to see my mom again one day. I know she's in heaven. I know she was saved. I know I'm saved. I know I'm on my way to heaven. Look at me. And I know I'm going to enjoy her presence one day. But it hurts me that I can't see her this day. I know it's coming in the future. But it hurts that I can't talk to her, call her on the phone in the present. And dear friends, I believe with all my heart Jonah knew I would see God one day. But I want to feel him now. I want to see him now. I've made so many mistakes. I can't believe I've made these decisions. I can't believe I've gone down this road. And it took literally not feeling the presence of God, not having it like he had always had, that all of a sudden now realizing how wonderful it was when he had it. It's amazing how trials will make you reassess your priorities. It's amazing how him being brought to this condition made him realize how wrong his decisions had been. I find that Jonah mentions more specifically how he was suffering spiritually than he ever mentioned how he was suffering physically. The worst part about it wasn't his physical pain. The worst part about it was the spiritual agony he was in. That I was blessed with closeness with God and I ran from it. I believe that Jonah here had literally thought that God had quite forsaken him. Maybe he even thought that God would never return to him in mercy, nor show him kindness again. I don't know. I do know this, and I want you to think about this with me. As Jonah was stuck in that fish for those 3 days, it was a little bit low on illustrations of how God had brought people through something like this. There wasn't a whole lot of individuals that you could say swallowed by a fish for 3 days and then they came out and served God. Nobody had ever been in this position before. Now, if Jonah knew his Bible, and I believe that he probably did, he knew about the story of Job, how he was laying on the dunghill, the Bible says, and had lost everything. And he knew the story about how Joseph had been in the pit and then sold into slavery and had gone into jail and prison and all that stuff, and how God had used him. And surely he probably knew about when David was in the cave and was running away for his life and felt everybody had turned their backs on him. And yet, did you look at all that? None of them seemed to measure up with what Jonah was going through. And Jonah didn't have a whole lot of things to look at and say, hey, God brought them through that. He'll bring me through this. It was uncharted territory. Dear friend, little did Jonah know that he was a picture of what Christ would go through one day for us. Uncharted territory. No perfect man had ever lived. No perfect man had ever been killed. No man had ever been put in the grave for 3 days and came out alive and beat death. But Jesus did that for us. His disappointment was painful. I want you to notice, secondly, this morning that his determination was powerful. There's some reasons for that. Look at verse 4, if you would. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight. Yet. And that means this, although everything's stacked against me, although I'm probably, this isn't going to do one thing to help now. Although that the case is probably too far gone. Although that maybe this is not going to do any good. It's not going to change anything in my life. Yet, I will look again toward thy holy temple. Now, there's some very interesting things to say about this. He is saying here that I have to look again because I've lost sight of a few things. The fact that Jonah said, I will look again towards thy holy temple, implies the fact that he had stopped looking at God's holy temple. It implies that there had been a time where he was close to God, and a time where he had obeyed God, and a time where he had gone and done what God had asked him to do. But things had changed, and focus had changed, and now Jonah's will had gotten in the way. And now Jonah, stuck in that fish, in the belly of that well, realizes where his will took him. And that's exactly where your will and my will take us. Nowhere. Look at me, folks. And he says this, I will look again. I've blown it. I stopped. I quit keeping my eyes on God. I got away from that. And the Bible says we ought to stay focused on God, and we ought to keep our focus on the things of God and not on things on the earth, the Bible says. It tells us all that. But somehow Jonah had let his focus get away from God and God on people. And it had brought him to the fish's belly in a miserable condition, thinking God was done with him. And he said, well, the only thing I have left to do is if it doesn't do any good, I'm going to get right with God. And I'm going to put my focus back to where it needs to be. Listen to me. Other things had taken his attention. The whole time he should have been looking towards God's holy temple. The whole time, the things of God should have been his focus. But the fact that Jonah disobeyed God and ran tells us that there were some things going on inside of him way before God ever asked him to go to Nineveh. Dear friend, you look at me. Teenagers don't all of a sudden up and rebel one day. I don't care how good they acted for a long time. It started a long time before that in their heart. Let me tell you something, good church members don't just up and rebel and leave in a day. And they don't do it because somebody says one little thing that hurts their feelings. Let me tell you something, there's stuff been going on for a long time. There has been separation going on for a long time in their heart. Their attention, their focus is not on the house of God. It's not on the things of God. They got other things in the world that's more important to them, and they're just looking for a good reason and a good excuse not to go to church, not to come to church, to go away from this church. It's been going on a while. Amen. I'm right about that. Preacher will get up and preach exactly what God's laid on his heart, and they'll leave. Well, you know, I tell you what, that kind of hurt my feelings and kind of a thing. That's not what made them go. They had left a long time before that. Jonah had left God a long time before God said, hey, Jonah, would you go to Nineveh? Look at me. Jonah had already drawn the line in the sand. Jonah had already said, there's some things I'm willing to do for God and some things I'm not willing to do for God. And if there's any limitation on your willingness, then there's always going to be limitation on God's blessing. If you want God's blessing to be limitless, then your willingness has to be limitless. Isn't that good? Amen, preacher. That's great. He had been focusing on other things more than the Lord. He'd been looking at people. He'd been looking at things. He'd been looking at the world. And those little things had been grabbing a hold of him, and he didn't even realize it. And then all of a sudden, when God wanted him to up and let go of everything and let go of everything and leave everything behind and to go serve him and do what God had called him to do, the world had so much a hold on him and the opinions of people had so much a hold on him and his fear of what people might say or do had gotten such a hold on him that he ran from the presence of the Lord. And dear friend, it might very well be that some of us have done the exact same thing. Maybe Jonah got to this point that he realized he had taken it for granted the first time. I bet you laying there in that fish, Jonah realized, you know what? I had it better when I was close to God. I had it better when I might not have had as much of this, and I might not have had as much of that, and I had it a whole lot better. I wanted everything else, and so I went and got it, but it was much better when I was close to God. And now that I got everything I wanted, now look where I am. Maybe Jonah realized, you know what? When I spent time in God's house before, it was more wonderful than I even realized. And now that I'm stuck in this fish for these days, and now I got time to think, I realize how much I miss the house of God. And I will look again towards thy holy temple. I will get a burden again, and I will get excited again, and I will get my Bible, and I will wake up on a Sunday morning, and I will go to church. I don't care what happens. I don't care what ball game's on tonight. I'm going to church. Isn't it great that this message timed on this day? Maybe laying there in that fish, Jonah realized I didn't appreciate it like I should. I didn't appreciate God's house like I should. He's laying there literally being regurgitated in a fish. And he'd have given anything to have been in God's holy temple. He'd have given anything to have been in God's house. He'd have given anything to be able to walk up to the doors of the temple and be able to go in for a worship service and sit there and think and sing about how great God was. But he was stuck now. And dear friend, it's sad that it takes getting to that point to realize how precious God's house is. Maybe he didn't realize how blessed he had been while he was there. You see, it's easy to sit in God's house or to sit in the things of God and give your life to things. It's easy to sit and think everybody else has it better. It's easy to sit here and think, boy, you know, man, if you really want me, preacher, to, you know, really dedicate my life to God, I'm going to have to not do this, and I'm going to have to not, you know, and this isn't a bunch of rules, folks. I'm just saying when God's the priority, things change. They just do. And you know what? You want me to do this, and I'm not going to be able to do this, and I'm going to have to change this, and it looks like that would be great, and that would be wonderful. And you know what? Oftentimes we can sit in the house of God and not even realize how blessed we are here. And we're going to think the blessing's so much greater out there. You go ahead and go down that road, and you enjoy it for a while. But one day you're going to find yourself in a situation, and you're going to think, oh, I don't even realize how great it was back then. I've lived long enough, and I've been in ministry long enough, folks, to see where some of those roads end. Am I preaching too hard this morning? You know, I love you, right? I know I find it interesting here that being in this fish, it quickly swept away all other priorities. It took away all other focus. It took away all the attention on other things. Look at me. It's amazing when everything is gone, you realize how important God is. That ought to prove how things get in the way of us and God.
Yeah. Amen.
Yeah. Because when all those things are gone, you find out they didn't do one thing for you. Listen to me. I find it interesting here that this is what Jonah said. He said, yet I am cast out of thy sight. But when I make it out of here alive, I will look again towards thy holy temple. Didn't say that, did he? He said, I am cast out of thy sight. Yet. That means this. Jonah didn't say, I'm going to wait for things to change before I get right with God. What Jonah is saying is this, I'm going to get right with God even if nothing changes. Amen. Look at me, dear friends. You don't sit there and wait to feel the presence of God for you to change. You change so that you can feel the presence of God.
Yeah.
So many times we say, well, if God will do this and if God will do that, then I will do that. Honey, that's not the way it works. You make the first move. You draw nigh to God, He'll draw nigh to you. His determination was powerful. As far as Jonah knew, I believe he did not even fully believe that this would even make a difference. But it didn't matter. I believe he just literally believed he was going to die in that fish. But he had determined, if I die in this fish, I'm going to die right with God.
Amen.
I'm not going to go down like this. This is not going to be the end of my life. It's not going to end like this. I'm not going to die in this state. I realize how I've blown it in my selfishness, and I don't care if I get out of this fish or not. I can't take one more second not close to God. Oh, dear friend, let me tell you what conviction is. Let me tell you what revival is. When God gets so heavy around a church that all of us determine, I don't want to go another second, not close to God like I ought to be. I don't want to go another day away from God. I want to get right now.
Amen.
I believe we have a whole church that ought to determine, I am going to look again towards thy holy temple. I have let some things get in the way, and I have let some things get my attention, and none of these things are wrong. None of these things are sinful. It's not wrong that they're in your life. But when things start taking priority over God, we're in trouble. So many things I want to say, but my time is quickly leaving. I find it interesting here, and let me just say this before I go to the next point. I have to pick and choose what I'm going to say because I got too much to share. Look at me. I find interesting here the humility of Jonah that he said this. I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again towards thy holy temple. I find it interesting here that Jonah, almost out of an admission of guilt, almost out of an admission that I don't deserve it, he never said, I'm going to dwell in the house of God. He said, I just want to see it. And it reminds me of the prodigal son that when he came back to his father, he said, Father, I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. Just make me a hired servant. Look at me. I don't have to live in the house. Just let me live around the house. And Jonah says, I might not deserve to even go in the temple, but would you at least let me look at it again? It was that precious to him. He didn't have a whole bunch of demands. Well, God, I'll come back if you do this. He said, God, would you just let me just look on your temple one more time? I want you to notice, number three, that his direction was prayerful. He said, I will look again toward thy holy temple. Listen to me, dear friends. This is called repentance. It's when I'm looking one way, and I determine, you know what, this isn't going to be a decision on just a Sunday morning service, and I go on with life. Jonah said this, I'm going to look towards your holy temple. This means that he was looking one way and heading one way and going a wrong direction in his life. And he said, I am going to turn around, and I am going to look toward thy holy temple. Jonah knew that this was a big decision. It was serious. It means some things are going to have to change. And that quickly brings me to number four. His decision was personal. Now, if you don't get anything and you haven't gotten anything and I'm boring you half to death and you just can't wait to get out here and get to lunch, just try to listen for these eight or nine minutes. Listen to me. Look, if you would, at verse 4. Jonah says this, "Then I said," look at the middle of the verse, "yet I will look again." Nobody else could make this decision for Jonah. This was a personal decision. Jonah is saying, "It's my choice. It's my responsibility. Look at me. It's not anybody else's fault that I ran from God, and it's my responsibility to come back to God." He did not blame the mariners for throwing him over the ship. He didn't blame mama and daddy because they were too hard on him when he was little. He didn't blame the preacher because he was preaching too hard. He didn't blame the Baptist. He didn't blame the Methodist. He didn't blame anybody else. "It's my fault I got away from God, and it's my responsibility to get back." Listen, dear friend, you just quit waiting around for somebody else to get up out of the seat and hit an altar. You just quit waiting around for somebody else to get on fire and start serving God. This is a personal decision for you. That's why the Bible says, "As for me and my house, I will serve the Lord." It's a personal decision. Look at me. It means this. Nobody else can make this choice. Nobody else can make this move. You have to. I believe with all my heart, look at me, I believe God had a plan all along, and I've told you that, the providence of God. But look at me. I don't fully understand the whole providence of God thing, but I believe that God probably knew, because he knows all things, knew that Jonah was going to turn back to God. I think of the story of Abraham and Isaac. And when they went up on the top of the mountain, obviously, and Abraham put Isaac, his only son, on the altar because God had asked him to sacrifice his only son, Isaac. And Abraham raised the knife. And we all know the story. When he raised the knife to slay his only son, to sacrifice him, the angel of God stopped him and said, "Now I know that obviously you're obedient and will do anything." And he stopped it. If all God wanted to know was that Abraham was willing, if he had been willing the whole time, God could have stopped it way back then. If the whole point was just so God knew he was willing, well, if God knew he was willing right from the start, he would have just stopped it. Why make it go to that whole point? Because I believe Abraham was struggling with it all the way up until he finally lifted the knife. It was a struggle. Look at me. I don't know if this is the case or not, but I believe this phrase, this decision of Jonah, this is what turned his captivity, just like in Job. When Job prayed for his friends, then God turned the captivity of Job. And I believe when Jonah decided to look once again, although I don't think this is going to help, I'm not going to get anything more out of this deal, I just want to get right with God, I believe then God gave. I believe at that moment, look at me, I believe at that moment, God started bringing that fish up out of the bottom and heading to the water's edge. Because just a few verses later, immediately, the fish vomits him out. I believe he was as low could get. And when he finally made that personal decision, "I will look again towards thy holy temple. I'm cast out of your sight," which means there's no chance, there's no help, there's no mercy, there's no grace left, but I'm going to get right with you anyway. When he made that decision, I believe God started bringing that fish up. That's all God was waiting on. When you get to the point you don't expect nothing from God, you just want to get right with him. Oh, God started bringing that fish up. And that literally led to Jonah's deliverance, making this decision. This would change everything. No more running when God asks you to do something. And that fish, I'm not going to go through all that again. You all described how you appreciated my description of that a few weeks ago. When he made this decision, everything changed. Not one soul was saved in Nineveh till Jonah decided to look again toward God's holy temple. And dear friend, I'm going to tell you this. There's no telling where God wants to take this church. But that will only start when all of us determine all these other things that have been taking our attention. We're going to put them all in the background. We're going to look again toward God's holy temple. Could I ask you a question? Would you look again this day in 2014? Father, I ask you to bless this invitation time. God, you brought me to some low points in my life. I don't know that I've ever had it as bad as Jonah did. But I had it bad enough that I did not want it to end there. God, give our people a desire to look toward you, to look to the things of God, to make your house, your things, your priorities, their top priorities in their life. Lord, I'm not a preacher just trying to be mean, trying to control. I'm just sharing God's word. Lord, I pray you'd help us, and I pray that you would break us. And I pray, Lord, that you would bring us to the point that we realize that all these things do nothing for us. Lord, it is a personal decision. And Lord, if there are some individuals that must admit that the presence of God hasn't been very real in my life lately, Lord, you didn't go anywhere. They left. Lord, I pray that they would take steps today to begin the process of getting close to you again. Lord, I love you. You've been really good to me, better than I could ever deserve. And Lord, I will do my best to promise you in the year 2014, God, I'm going to look again and I'm going to try to eliminate anything that would get in the way. And I'm going to try to be a better pastor and a better preacher and a better husband and a better dad and a better Christian. God, I pray you'd help our people to desire the same. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. I want to ask you to stand all over the building, if you will. Folks are at the altar. If God's touched your heart, would you step out and come? We won't have long invitation. God's led you to join our church. You feel this is where God wants you, you just go ahead and come. Find you a seat up here in the front. We'll fill out a card. If you've never been baptized and you would like to come for baptism, you come. And we'll get set up a time to help you get baptized. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Go ahead and sing a verse, Nick, if you will. Sing that chorus together. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Nick, lead us if you will. I love that chorus. Just sing the chorus with us, everybody.
Turn your eyes upon Jesus.
In the light of
Lord, we love you. We thank you for your goodness to us. And bless the remainder of the service. In your name we pray. Amen. You can have a seat if you will. This is an exciting day for me for just a lot of reasons. And let me mention this real quickly first. Things that I go through are no more important and even probably less important than you. But this coming Wednesday, I'm going to be having some extensive shoulder surgery. And I don't know what all I'm going to face with that. And it depends on when they get in there and see how bad it is. They're repairing my rotator cuff and some different things. And it's going to be some months of recovery. And I only say that to say this, that there over the next few weeks, I don't know how much it's going to limit me as far as what I do day to day. And I want you to know in advance, I apologize if there's some things I can't be at or get to for a surgery or something. I just want you to know in advance that I'm limited as far as that. I will try to. Again, and Lord willing, next Sunday night, Dr. Samuel Thomas is going to be here preaching, and we had him scheduled, and so he will be preaching. But other than that, I'm going to try for it not to get in the way of my preaching. And now Wednesday night, obviously I have surgery on Wednesday, and I'll probably be in the hospital that night, they say. But please listen to me. I think a lot of times, and I want you to hear this genuinely from me, you're kind. We need your prayer. You do not need to come and visit. You know, everybody thinks, well, he might think I'm not a good member if I don't listen. We're good. We're fine. I understand I'm the kind of person, when I'm sick, stay away from me. That's just me. Some of you, like when you're sick, you want everybody to come because you're lonely. Not me. I'm like, if I'm sick, just don't touch me, stay away from me, leave me alone. Okay, and don't take it mean, I'm just saying, was that mean? That sounds mean, doesn't it? How many of you are like me? I want to be left alone. Okay, I'm just saying, you don't need to come see me or anything like that. Thank you. We've had people offer meals. We don't need them. We appreciate it. You're kind, and we'll be fine, and it's, you know, all those things. But I just wanted you to know in advance, like, well, why isn't he here at my surgery? I don't know what all is going to take place. I will do everything that I can do, and it won't affect my Sundays, but day to day, I don't know what it might affect. So I just want you to know that in advance, and I apologize in advance for that. It's already limited me some with some appointments that I've had, but I apologize in advance for that. I have been instructed not to embarrass, so I'm not going to embarrass. This is a great day for us because we have some close friends that are joining our church. And this is Rusty and Sabrina Wood and their daughter Skylar Stillings. And Sabrina actually, I think at one time, went to our Christian school here. I just happened to meet Rusty. We've become great friends. And by the way, I always pick on you. Rusty's the one that brings my donut holes, by the way. So now you know why I'm so glad that they're joining this church, and I'm just picking. But we've just had a good time over the last 2 years, probably 2.5 years, getting to know each other. And, you know, Rusty, I'm going to be honest with you, I'm not going to embarrass him, but had some bad things happen to him in church, had some people just treat him like a jerk. Anybody ever been hurt by somebody in church? You know, church people can be just mean and cruel sometimes. We know how that goes. And, you know, he was just not interested at all in a Baptist church at all. And I told him I wasn't either. So, but anyway, and this is a miracle, and they have been coming for a long time. They're very faithful, and they're a blessing to us. And I hope that you will be a blessing to Rusty and Sabrina, and especially to Skylar. They're just the most generous, kind-hearted people you ever meet. And it means that the world to me that they would entrust me and entrust this church. And I love to see God work, don't you? And we appreciate them so much. Now, they have a family engagement today. And so, you know, out of kindness to that, they said, they don't have time for the whole shake hand thing. Just make sure over the next few weeks that you get to talk with Rusty and Sabrina. Just, you know, let them know you're glad that they're here. And I certainly understand that today. And I know you will appreciate that because you'll get home quicker and all that good stuff. But they've asked to bypass that today, and I have no problem with that whatsoever. But if I've talked with them, met with them, they've both been saved and baptized. And if I have a motion for them to join this church, would you raise your hand as a motion? Do I have a second? Second. All in favor, say amen. Amen. Isn't God good? Amen. Hasn't he been great to you? Amen. Amen. Let's all stand. Yes. Oh, that's right. Jacob, come on up. You go ahead and stand. And Jacob, you make this announcement, and then go ahead and pray for us at the end.
We are beginning our second year of Upward Soccer coming up. Our evaluations are March 8th and 15th. We need coaches, we need referees, and we also need kids to participate. So on the front desk, we have these flyers that have a registration form on the back, so you can take some with you if you know someone that has kids of age. And if you want a coach or if you want a referee, come see me. We could use anybody's help that's willing. All right, let's pray and we'll be dismissed. Dear Heavenly Father, yes, sir.
I apologize. This is real brief. We do have choir practice today at 5, so if you're in the choir, please do that. I want to say thank you for those who came to our special choir camp we had on Saturday. We had a large amount of people, about 60-plus people come, and it was just a blessing. So I want to thank you for that. It's going to be a great, great experience, and I appreciate that. If anybody wants to help with that still, the doors aren't closed to it, please let us know. I'd love you to be able to be a part of this thing. It's going to be really good. Secondly, on February the 9th, Brother Jude, we've talked about this. He's wanting to meet with all those that are ushers, all those that are greeters, or you say, Brother Nick, listen, I've been wanting to do some things in the church, maybe some sacrifice workout and try and help with the church things if there's anything that's needed. We always can use some ushers and greeters, fellas. And you say, what do you got to do to be there? You just got to be here. I need you to be faithful, right? And so we're going to have a meeting on February the 9th. That's not tonight, but that's next Sunday night after the service. We'll feed you. So fellas, if you will, just make sure you're going to be a part of that. If you want to help in the church, it is a blessing. We need good ushers and good greeters. Amen. And Brother Jacob's going to come and pray and dismiss us in service. Amen.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for today. I thank you for the tremendous message this morning. Father, I pray that you'll help us all to look towards your temple again. Help us to change that course and focus on you. Please bless us as we go. In Jesus' name, amen.